Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Thursday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. We have bad, and crazy martinis for conservatives today. Don't adjust. It's not yesterday's, even though Wednesday's was also bad, and crazy. We have totally different things that are bad, and crazy today. Let's start with a double-barreled bad on the Republican tax reform bill, with a little bit of help from the Hill and a little bit of help from the Los Angeles Times. Let's start with the LA Times. Quote, as they prepare to unveil their own sweeping tax plan, Senate Republicans are revisiting key provisions of the GOP House proposal, including possibly eliminating property tax deductions as well as state income tax deductions, increasing the size of child care credits, offering more help to small businesses, and having corporate tax cuts phase in or expire, according to those familiar with the negotiations. And the big corporate tax cut is the one that they might let expire after 10 years. They're very worried over in the Senate that they won't be able to do this through reconciliation, because if you do it through reconciliation, you can't add to the deficit. And so they're looking at various options, including fully repealing state and local tax deductions that are important to California and other high states, including property taxes, adjusting individual tax brackets so higher income households that earn less than $1 million fall in the top 39.6 rate, meaning it's not just going to be those earning a million or more, retaining some type of estate tax, or repealing parts of Obamacare. And then from the Hill over on the adoption tax credit, a lot of Christian groups, pro-life leaders, really pushing against this effort to eliminate the tax credit for adoptions that provides up to $13,570 in tax savings per adopted child. But House Ways and Means Committee Chairman Kevin Brady says while he understands the concern, he's going to encourage the committee to vote against a Democratic amendment to add the credit back in, because he says it's usually not used by middle-income people. It's only used by rich people. So, Jim, clearly those people don't deserve a break on their taxes for doing a wonderful thing and adopting children. I thought the Democrats were the party of class warfare, Jim.
Yeah, you can say, okay, maybe Brady's going rogue. You know, maybe he's got this crazy bee in his bonnet about this tax credit. No, Speaker Paul Ryan is pretty much giving the exact same message. This morning he was discussing the tax reform bill. Over at lifenews.com, they've got the quotes, and he says, quote, it is a tax credit that goes to higher income individuals. Middle and lower income people don't get it today. If you're taking a foster kid, adoption, which we want more of, that doesn't apply there. So there's really a tax credit that just goes to a narrow group of people who actually do the adopting. Now, you can ask David French, my colleague who's adopted children. There was a really kind of gripping kind of Twitter essay by a guy who's a Google engineer who talked and basically said that basically adopting each of his children has cost him in the neighborhood of $50,000. He is just able to scrape together. Obviously, a lot of people don't. Look, if you're doing something as important and beautiful and everything you want to see in an American as adoption, I want to give you the biggest tax benefit possible. And he points out that, yes, it really does make a difference. The guy's a Google engineer, but he's not, you know, a crazy multimillionaire. He doesn't have a ton of this. He says a lot of adoptive parents end up taking out second mortgages on their homes. These are probably people who we would characterize as Henrys, high earners, not rich yet. And they're doing something which we say we want more of. And, oh, by the way, a pro-life party should be doing this left and right. So all of a sudden we're left with the Democrats leading the fight to restore the adoption tax credit. I feel like I'm in bizarro world, Greg. This doesn't seem to make any particular sense of Republicans. Like, oh, but you'll get a bigger overall tax credit or something like that. On the property taxes, I'm struck by – you talk about class warfare in the question there, Greg. I'm struck by how much there's a sense of geographical warfare. There seems to be this tone of like, well, you're dumb enough to live in a place that's got high property taxes, so you shouldn't get any federal tax code benefit. And look, I know Reagan called for this for – state and local taxes and things like that. But I kind of thought we as Republicans wanted to try to cut taxes for everybody. And we wanted to try to cut taxes as much as possible for everybody, because we wanted to have the minimum level of taxation to keep the government functioning the way it should. And we wanted to control spending. And we didn't want to have a minimum waste, fraud, abuse, all that other stuff. But also just generally, a government that has a shorter to-do list is more likely to do those things better. And as the growth of government that kind of fosters this lack of accountability and incompetence and things like that. You talk about picking winners and losers in the tax code. You know, I don't mind picking adoptive parents as winners, Greg.
Right.
That doesn't strike me as you know, it's a bailout for a particular company or something like that. No, I think you do something really good. I think Uncle Sam should cut you a break because that is probably one of the greatest things you can do in this society. And it's just baffling that Republican lawmakers could be so unbelievably, just not just tone deaf with the public at large, tone deaf to the concerns of their own conservative constituents. And obviously many Christian groups, many pro-adoption, anti-abortion groups. This is a huge deal to them. And, if House Republicans really push this through, look, it's kind of hard to see the argument that they deserve to keep their House majority if they're making policy decisions like this.
Whatever you want to see more of, you usually make it advantageous financially. So you give tax credits for that. Whatever you want to see less of, you tax it. Guess what you're doing here, Republicans? Wise up. Jim, on to our second bad martini. And I don't know if you're traveling by air anytime soon. A lot of people obviously will for Thanksgiving or Christmas. And guess what? You're going to be going through the misery of the TSA again. You could potentially get groped. You could potentially have your suitcases rifled through that you took 15 hours to cram tight so you could actually get the thing zipped. But guess what they're not going to do? And that's fine things that could actually be problematic on a flight. Fox News, undercover Homeland Security investigators trying to sneak mock knives, guns, and explosives past TSA agents at airports reportedly were successful around three-quarters of the time, according to multiple reports of a classified briefing that was given to a House committee. Three-quarters of the time, the undercover agents carrying the item slipped past security checkpoints more than 70% of the time, CBS News reported, while a source told ABC News that the figure was around 80%. I found that briefing disturbing, said Congressman Michael McCaul, the chairman of the House Homeland Security Committee. We need to do more to confront the growing threats aimed at the aviation sector. The Homeland Security's Office of Inspector General gave the Transportation Security Administration 8 classified recommendations to correct the vulnerabilities. So, Jim, I believe the official count of terrorist plots officially disrupted since the TSA was put into place is still at 0. Nonetheless, we've spent a lot of money on it. They're a big hassle, and clearly they're not accomplishing much.
Greg, I think if you began this second martini item, everybody thought this was just a really long segue to a fine, fine suitcase sponsor. but it wasn't. No. It's a very familiar complaint about the TSA. Now, 2 or 3 little odd things that kind of came up out of this. I think it was my colleague Jonah Goldberg who said, and yet they managed to find my cigar lighter every single time. Georgetown law professor Randy Barnett says, I was just about to type the exact same thing. I'll let something out here that I use a CPAP machine for when I sleep. I usually take it with me as a carry-on because if I ever have that lost in the luggage, it gets shipped to the wrong place, I'm really in trouble. Greg, every time I fly, the rules for it are different. Sometimes it needs to be outside of the case. Sometimes it needs to be in the case. I can tell they have no set rule. I can tell they're making it up as they go because you think otherwise it would be the same consistent rule everywhere we go. So here is the one federal agency that people deal with probably more regularly than everybody else. Or, hopefully you're not dealing with the IRS every single day. You may not be dealing with the Department of Agriculture or Department of Commerce on a regular basis. But a lot of Americans who fly fairly frequently and they interact with these people. And sometimes I've had some very nice people, and for all the future flights that I take, if I happen to be in your line, I think you're really, really terrific, TSA people. But having said that, look, a lot of times we do encounter cases where we feel either manhandled, we feel incompetent, we feel like the rules are completely arbitrary. I think probably more than once we've all had an experience where somebody was enjoying their authority over us. And basically the fact that this is the one set of circumstances in which they're in charge and they're going to let us know it. And oh, by the way, they can't find bombs, they can't find knives, they can't find guns, all the stuff that they're supposed to do. This is one of those you had one job moments, and deeply distressing, deeply frustrating. I mean, I guess, good job. We haven't had any hijackings yet, but there's a reason people think poorly of the federal government and federal workers. And I think the TSA is a big chunk of it.
But your belt's not a terrorist threat. They make sure of that, I guess.
Yeah.
Your shoelaces. We're still working off of that threat from 15 years ago. Jim, let's move on to the crazy martini now. And speaking of guns, I don't know if any AR-15s have slipped through TSA. Those are pretty large. If you missed that, you certainly ought to probably lose your job. But the USA Today website has decided to offer some handy tips on why the AR-15 is so popular, because millions of these are now owned by Americans, and obviously only a very small fraction of those are actually using them for nefarious purposes. But nonetheless, they are showing about how you can add and configure these things and make them customized to the way you like to shoot. And so there, you've got the grips up front, you've got the things you can add in the back, you can add a flashlight, and then there was a couple other things that you can add underneath the barrel. One was a 12-gauge, which was pretty interesting. And then the one that's really got social media, especially among conservatives, just howling out loud laughing, Jim, is the chainsaw bayonet. And a lot of people weren't aware that that even existed. Apparently, it's not very easily attainable. My question, of course, is whether it's got a pull cord that actually starts the thing, or it just looks kind of menacing with the teeth out there. What do you make of the chainsaw bayonet and that option to modify your AR-15?
Greg, are there a lot of zombies over at USA Today headquarters? I drive past that building every now and then. It's not far from the Gannett building, and I don't see them like brains. But apparently they're in, like, you know, Evil Dead or something like that. There or Sharknado or something like that. It is a now let's kind of walk through what's happened since the awful church shooting of the weekend. So we've seen people insist this is the fault of the NRA. One was a former NRA firearms instructor who shot at and is believed killed the gunman. So in other words, the NRA was not the blame for this. An NRA member is the one who actually stopped the massacre from continuing. We had the member of the Senate, Jeff Flake, say that he's going to require that if you have a domestic violence charges from the military, that you're not going to be able to buy a gun, which is already the law. And now USA Today is warning us about chainsaw bayonets. And what is the one thing we always hear after a massacre, after something terrible happens, Greg? It's time for us to sit down and have a real conversation about guns. Okay, if we're going to have a real conversation about guns, you guys have required reading, okay? You know what the gun laws are. You need to know the actual facts of the particular massacre or terrible event that you're responding to. And you need to know that chainsaw bayonets, either they don't exist. I certainly haven't seen one. I haven't encountered one. Again, I live in a fairly zombie-free part of the country. So maybe someone has created a chainsaw bayonet other than Ash from Evil Dead. But I myself have not encountered them. And, you know, you want to know why gun owners don't take criticism seriously. It's because the people making the criticisms often demonstrate that they do not know what they're talking about. One last little anecdote here, Greg. A couple of weeks ago, I was able to go to the shooting range. My brother's getting married. We went for his bachelor party, went to a shooting range in Texas. The instructors were kind and understanding for all of us who had a limited amount of firearms experience. I've been shooting there once before with my friend Cam Edwards of NRA TV, who kind of took me through the basics. And, I had some familiarity, but it was good to have the refresher. One of my brother's friends did not have that much familiarity. And so he's saying things like, oh, my goodness, that guy must have had an automatic. Actually, I'm fairly certain it's not an automatic because automatics are illegal. Or there are a couple that are grandfathered in, but they're like 30 years old. Oh, my God. When the bullet came out and it hit you. No, that was not the bullet. That was the shell casing. That was the brass. It's totally. And I'm feeling this and I'm like, oh, my God, Greg, is this how Cam feels all the time? Is this how gun owners feel, like, around everybody, all of us nice suburbanites who don't own guns, and just ramble on? Because all of a sudden you're like, oh my goodness, the terminology is wrong, the words are wrong. They have no, they're just using words that they've seen in Hollywood movies that very often are not true. Having shot a bunch of guns, let me tell you, very, very rarely are you going to be firing a handgun with one hand. Perhaps they should call it a hands gun, because you have a much better aim and much better success and much better control over the weapon with two hands. So. Anyway, those are my lessons of the week, and completely understandable that you know USA Today is getting a lot of mockery that they really deserve over the last 24 hours.
Oh, man. If the chainsaw bayonet did catch on, though, can't you imagine the competing ads between Husqvarna and Steel and some of these other chainsaw makers about which chainsaw bayonet is really the best?
I'm just trying to think about the circumstances where, like, are you out hunting for deer and tree trimming? Right? Like, oh, a wire came, you know, a tree came down during the storm, knocked down some wires and stuff. We got to, you know, or it's closing the road. We got to chop it up. But I don't want to, like, you know, chop the tree that fell into small pieces while not being safe. So I'm going to use my chainsaw bayonet. And oh, look out. MS-13, blam, blam. You know, I'm just trying to think about where you would need both of those outside of the zombie apocalypse. Greg, I've always thought that multitasking is another word for doing multiple things badly at the same time.
Yeah.
Focus, right? Either chop down the trees or shoot. One or the other. You don't need to do both at the same time.
Oh, Jim. Jim, perfect way to end the podcast today. You are off tomorrow. I will be back with you on Monday. Have a good weekend.
Looking forward to Monday, Greg. See you then.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks so much for being with us today. As mentioned, Jim will be back on Monday. Tune in on Friday, though, as David French joins me for the next edition of the Three Martini Lunch.